Hi, I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And we're about to do VoiceOver Body Shop tonight. Our guest tonight is MJ Lallo, and we're going to talk about character voices and animation, and she's got some great stuff. Conrad is actually with us tonight, too. And we've got questions and all sorts of stuff. So stay tuned. We'll be right with you here on VoiceOver Body Shop.
Two men, twin sons from different mothers, with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere, together in one place. George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voice actor with over 30 years' experience in broadcasting and recording, and a no-holds-barred, myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, finally, to bring you all the latest technology, the superstars of voiceover today, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is VoiceOver Body Shop. And now, live from their super-secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Hi, I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VO.
BS.
See, I had to maybe make you stall on that one just a little bit.
Yeah,
or VO.
BS.
There you go.
Ah, for comic relief.
Yeah, that makes it, that comedic works a little timing. Bit better for here.
We'll remember that for episode 32.
Absolutely. Well, there are a ton of people watching tonight live, and I'm sure billions will be watching it on YouTube later on if they're not here now.
Billions.
And of course, the entire population of India and China will be watching or listening to the podcast going, right. They sound like they're talking about something, but we have no idea. But we're that popular all over the world, and we're glad that you're tuning in tonight because we have a great guest. But first, we have to discuss a little bit about who our sponsors are.
Our very special sponsors.
Because without them, this would just be, you'd be staring at a computer screen going, there's nothing there. But anyway, but we need to thank our sponsors. Harlan Hogan over at VoiceOverEssentials.com.
VoiceOver Extra.
Edge Studio, your employers.
Source Elements.
And VOToGoGo.com. We're going to talk about their audition app tonight.
Oh,
and
okay.
Antland Productions, Uncle Roy over at Antland, where you can get yourself a killer demo.
Yay.
Well, that's what you call, that's billboarding to a T.
Professional show business.
Yes. Okay. Now, I need to get the teleprompter guy here.
Wait. And now.
And now, the VoiceOver Extra, VOBS News. The latest and most comprehensive voiceover industry news. Brought to you.
Right. And tap it again. There you go. All right, here's the news from VoiceOver Extra. Some audio book narration tips. Now, tonight's news is for audiobook narrators, and we start off with how to save money if you're planning to attend the Audio Publishers APAC conference next month on May 10th in Chicago. Now, there's a $100 registration discount available now at audiopub.org, but the discount expires this Tuesday night. Now, APAC features educational sessions for narrators and publishers and many opportunities for both to network. Now, if you want to dress up, there's a black tie optional Audio Awards gala that takes place the following night. The Audios are the Oscars of the audiobook world, and the winners of this year's competition will be announced and honored at the gala. A $50 discount for gala tickets expires Tuesday as well. By the way, both events traditionally sell out well in advance, so get in there. And this brings us to another way you can get into the Audios gala stage, by winning an award. Just posted on VoiceOver Extra is advice from award-winning and prolific narrator Sean Pratt about how not to be deadly dull in your non-fiction narrations. Not easy to do. Quoting Sean from his article, one of the many reasons non-fiction narrations tend to be so deadly dull is that the narrator is working under the mistaken belief that all of the text on the page should be delivered in the same voice or style. And Sean says nothing could be further from the truth. In his article, Sean reveals how he discovered a way to deliver what he calls the four different voices of nonfiction, The Four. Now, he uses these voices to record everything from history to economics, science, and even a book on Shakespeare. Now, to begin with, Sean assumes the identity and perspective of the author, and throughout a narration, he seamlessly slips between these voices. One, there's the voice of Siri, HAL 9000, which is flat, low, almost robotic. Two, the voice of confident authority, which is strong and filled with gravitas. Third is the voice of informed opinion, which is conversational and shares feelings. And four, the voice of the other, a change in delivery or tone to indicate that the author is hearing something that the author did not write. Ooh, or that he's saying something, yeah. Now, you can learn more about these voices and enjoy hundreds of additional how-to articles now at voiceoverextra.com, your daily resource for voiceover success.
Bravo.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Technical things tonight, too.
That's right.
We have a question from, let's see here. Who is it from? It's from, oh, wait, well, first.
Actually, there's a tech update.
There's a tech update.
We haven't done this
update.
In a while. Yeah. We haven't done it for a while because I guess, you know, there was just sort of a lull in technology news. But there's a few things that just popped up last week. Part of it mainly because of Apple's new announcements. Apple is pushing out a new iPad Pro. So if you've been thinking about getting an iPad and you really want a smaller iPad, like the normal iPad Air size, but you want to use the new stylus pencil for marking up your scripts, you can get that in the iPad Pro flavor now. So not so big, not so 13-inchy and huge. There's the iPhone SE. So that's basically the iPhone 6S that is currently on the market, but shrunk back down to iPhone 5 size. So if you don't like those really large phones, you can get all the power of the iPhone 6S in a smaller form factor. So that's what the iPhone SE is. Now, there's some more interesting things than that that have been announced, not so newsworthy to the rest of the world, but to me and to you guys, probably a bigger deal. And one of those things is they have a Lightning port USB adapter for all of the iOS devices. So what that means is you can finally plug just about any USB device into an iPhone or an iPad like you would any other Mac. So that means if you've got a camera, if you've got an audio interface, if you've got a USB mic, anything that previously was not going to work with your iPhone or iPad, now with this new adapter, it can. And the reason it works is because this adapter has a pass-through for power. So it has a USB port for your device and another Lightning port to plug into your charger. So it will charge your phone and your iPad and power whatever that USB device is you have plugged in.
Cool.
We used to hack that together. Now Apple finally decided.
They figured maybe it's time to do that.
Yeah, we'll let people do this. So another thing is, not Yosemite, because we're up to El Capitan now. We're all running Yosemite still around here, but El Capitan has been out for a while. And the latest update, which is 10.11.4, seems to have a lot of bug fixes in it. I had a client who had mistakenly installed and gone to the newest version. She went from 10.6.8 to 10.11. That's a really big upgrade. That's a huge upgrade. And it wasn't because she wanted to do it. It was because she bought a new iPhone and Apple said you have to. But long story short, her machine ran terribly until the new update, the 10.11.4 update came out. And all of a sudden it purred like a kitten.
Wow.
So I'm not saying to just immediately go out and install it, but I'm saying that it seems to be mostly bug-free now. If you want to give it a try on a machine that doesn't have 1,000 USB devices plugged in, maybe it's time to give it a shot.
So are we like signaling the all clear siren right now?
You know, I always do it very like, I think we're okay now. I'm always tentative about it, but I think we're really, really close because this is now the fourth update version that they've put out.
This week.
Yeah.
There's an update on your phone. Again, it was just last night I had a...
I always tell people like install it on your laptop first, like whatever your second computer is.
Right.
And then when you feel like it's really working well and you like the actual upgrade, then maybe roll it out on your other machine after you back it up.
Right.
And last but not least,
I mean, this is running El Capitan.
Oh, it is on El Cap now?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're running on a laptop without a lot of external devices, you're usually good, but still you never know. And lastly, a Twisted Wave. I discovered this just playing around with somebody's phone. Twisted Wave on the iOS 9 version has file sending built in now. So if you're on Twisted Wave, you don't have to use Dropbox to send a file.
That's a great improvement.
Yeah, he actually built it on his own server. So you can say, it's just send link to file. It uploads to a Twisted Wave server. It sits there for 30 days temporarily, and then it puts a link in your email. Really cool, man.
That's really nice.
Yeah. So I wanted to make sure everybody knew about that because I didn't know. I just stumbled on it.
Well, because you pay attention to these things.
I try to.
Right. Now are we going to play show and tell with this thing?
Yeah. I was just at Amatron Electronics in Hollywood getting some groceries, so to speak, you know, tech groceries. And this thing came up. Yeah, let me put it on your camera because this thing is hilarious. I saw this hanging on the wall, and it looked like it had been there a really long time based on the packaging graphics here. But check this thing out. Dan, put this thing on your neck. Don't try to, just hook it around the neck. Yeah, there you go.
Should I put the 103 on here?
Yeah, put the 103. See what happens. So this thing is called the mic neck, and the whole idea is that you can put, you probably had a professor in school when you were in college 25, 30 years ago use one of these things. But it basically turns any microphone into a lav mic that you can just put around your neck. And I'm very curious about trying this thing, you know, in the wild with an actual voiceover.
Check it out.
But there you go. Check it out. I think we should plug that thing in, man.
All right, plug it in.
I'll mute your mic.
I'll put it on this one.
Yeah.
All right, let's see what happens here.
That is freaking hilarious.
Okay. All right. Should I do the rest of the show this way?
Yeah, man, it's
How's it working?
It sounds awesome.
All right.
Who knew? A lot.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. That's probably a pretty heavy mic to have on there, but...
It is, but if it sounds like...
What does it feel like, though?
It feels like I'm having a heart attack. I had this pressing thing on my chest.
Can you imagine doing an audiobook for an hour with that on there? Could you do it, you think?
I wouldn't be able to do it for 10 minutes.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, if you ignore, I suppose if I put some padding behind here or something like that, it would probably work. But
yeah, it might need a little bit of improvements for that one.
God.
I just thought it was hilarious, man. I thought we had to try that out.
All right. Well.
Anyways, we got one last thing before
we had a tech question here.
We had a tech question from Paul Stefano about his booth. He says, message, I currently use a drum perfect silencer drum shield as a booth. Yeah. So I know, drum perfect, you're thinking, why would you use it for VO? It works pretty well. It's got a lot of absorbing material, and it surrounds you completely. It has a little roof over top. It sounds great, but I struggle with ambient noise, particularly highway rumble. I'm looking at trading up to something like a Whisper Room or vocalbooth.com in a similar price range. And am I just spinning my wheels? Will anything of a similar price help me, or am I better off just sticking with the drum perfect? Thanks, Paul.
Well, ambient noise, of course, is always a problem. And if you're trying to isolate yourself, if you have ambient noise, you're not isolating yourself.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty clear.
Yeah.
What a drum booth is designed to do is not to prevent noise from coming in.
Right.
It's to attenuate the sound of drums out towards the recording space, if I'm not...
Yeah, exactly.
If I'm not mistaken.
It's not designed to isolate so much as it is to dampen the echo of the drums, right?
Right.
And it does that really well. But it can't stop rumble. And I'll tell you what, to be honest, man, not much can. Traffic rumble, like low frequency, just, you know, like the junk that gets through the walls and permeates everything.
Right.
Not much can stop that.
High pass filter.
That is the cheap and easy fix for pretty much all rumble problems is high pass filter.
Yeah,
honestly, I mean, start by just doing some simple processing steps. And I know, Paul, I've made you a Twisted Wave stack, and I've already approved your audio, so I know it's good. But I think he's probably being a little sensitive to those sounds and going, gosh, can I make this sound better with a better booth?
Yes.
Well, yeah, but not, I mean, nothing we've talked about.
He can isolate himself a little bit better.
Nothing we've talked about is going to stop rumble from traffic.
No. Well, except you live where you choose to live.
Well, yeah.
I mean, if you're next to the 405, yeah, you got a problem.
Yeah.
Or if you're in the flight path from an airport or something along those lines.
Yeah, but I can tell you from experience, the Whisper Room, the Vocal Booth, they don't do anything below about 100 hertz, maybe 80 hertz.
Right.
So if the noise you're talking about is down that low, that stuff's not going to work.
Right.
What will work is a high pass filter. That will take care of it. Done.
Or if your mic has a little high pass filter on it, a bass roll off switch.
Yeah, there's a switch on there that could help too. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing is the human voice really doesn't go down to 80 hertz. Rarely. Which is why, you know, and so if you flip off, if you roll off the 80 hertz, it's going to eliminate all that noise that isn't your voice and won't affect your voice.
Right.
So that's why we do that.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Well, MJ Lalo is our guest tonight.
That's right.
We're going to have a great time talking about animation and character voices and all sorts of weird stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not using this thing, however.
No, we'll switch out of that.
Yeah, we'll switch out of it.
We can do that while I do the source element spot.
Excellent.
How about that?
All right. So you go do the source element spot, and we'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Take it away, Mr. Witter.
All right, everybody. So while Dan goes and switches up the set to the other side of the room, I'll tell you about Source Elements. Source Elements makes Source Connect, which is a fantastic product for connecting to other studios real-time for doing live, not live on the air, but live recording sessions with other studios. It is the premier choice. It is the one that's been around and getting its way into the voiceover world probably the longest, and it's really the heir supreme. Is that the word I'm looking for? It's definitely the heir to the throne of studios that are using ISDN right now. It's a great backup for ISDN if you currently have it, because if you use ISDN all the time, you know it's getting a little more annoying, more expensive, and less reliable. But not only is it a good backup, it's also just a good replacement for ISDN. The sound quality is really stellar. It's very, very stable. The latency is something that you can actually control. A lot of people don't know that, but you can actually control how much of a delay that there is with the software. And you should give it a try right now. It's free for a 15-day trial period. It's now actually capable of running on your machine without an iLock. I know a lot of people will be surprised and happy to hear that, but you don't have to have an iLock now to use Source Connect. It will license itself directly to whatever computer you're using, and then the actual computer is, in essence, the iLock. So it's getting easier to use, less stuff to buy, and less to remember when you're traveling. So give it a try, sourceelements.com, and we really appreciate their being there for us from the beginning of VOBS. So we'll be right back, a couple more spots, and MJ will be joining us. Stand by.
Hiya, VO friends. You say you ain't booked a VO gig in 7 years, and your demo is so old that you can hear the clicks from the stock music records, and you hear so much tape hiss that you run to the sink to see if the faucet is running, and the engineer used so much echo on your voice that it sounds like it was recorded in the Grand Canyon, and the scripts seem a bit dated too. Advertising the new and improved 1938 Plymouth Road King? Is that what's been troubling you, Bunky?
Well, lift your head up high and take a walk in the sun. Your demo can be killer, too. Just contact Uncle Roy at AtlantProductions.com and book yourself a shiny new killer demo. Show your stick-to-itiveness and show the world. You'll never give up, never give up, never give up. That dream.
In a world of audio, two men knew what they were doing, or at least they have you convinced. They put the BS in VOBS.tv.
John Bailey's going to be joining us here in L.A. pretty soon, too.
He's here a lot more lately.
Yeah. You know, and so we'll probably have him sitting in here every now and again. Maybe we should just have him as our booth announcer.
That'd be great.
You know, that would probably solve a lot of problems. Anyway. Welcome to the show.
Hey,
MJ Lalo, nice to see you again.
And I'm taller than you now. This is amazing. This
Right. Wait a second. Hey, I can fix that. There we go.
Here we are. Where are we? Mount Olympus? Or
no, we're on top of the Hollywood sign.
Oh, the Hollywood
looking
sign.
Back at the glorious
Not
city of Los
windy
Angeles.
Today.
No, right. It isn't. Yeah. Can get kind of cool up there.
Jake, turn on the fan.
Yes. Anyway. It's great having you on, and we've got all sorts of cool stuff to talk about. We're not going to talk about this thing, though.
And we're done with that.
I think we're done with that.
See, if they had, you know what? They could make it so it was adjustable, but they didn't. Like, you know, pull it up, pull it down, like a little hole
That's
in
true.
There, right?
Yeah.
I just solved it. I want a piece of that action. Wait a minute. I'm
the Mike Neck Pro, I think?
Own.
Is that what we need?
I was just thinking, that would be great if you're in a closet. Because you just hang it on a rack and put the mic there.
I know. That would be fabulous.
How do you hang the mic in here if you don't have a mic stand? And now we know.
But not everybody wants it hanging, like, right here.
Right.
You'd have a heart attack. I'd have to hang it on my bra and hope nothing collapsed.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're in a booth. No one sees that.
Yeah,
that's
it.
In a booth, no one hears you scream.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, talk a little bit about yourself. I mean, how did you get into voiceover? And I mean, because you've had a rather interesting career, but how did you, where are you from and how did you get into voiceover?
You know what? I actually started as a musician, singer, poet, all that kind of stuff, way back in my 20s. So I was always out reading, and then I started to mix it with music a little bit. And then actually I was at the Colorado Council on Arts and Humanities, and the Washington State Arts Commission hired me through a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts to start teaching kids how to write and do their own stuff. So right away, at 20, I'm jumping into going into a classroom playing guitar and showing kids how to write and express themselves. But anyway, I was singing actually at the Coppola studio up in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. They were singing on At Play in the Fields of the Lord. John Lithgow, Kathy Bates. Mm-hmm. Remember that, Dan Behringer? Anyway, I was singing on that and walked out, and one of the gals said, "Oh boy, that sure was fun." And I said, "Wow, that's a funny voice. That's terrific." And she said, Yeah. I just took some lessons with this gal in Mill Valley. And I said, "Give me the card. Who is she? What is she? I want to meet her." And to this day, I think, what if I hadn't taken that card or lost it or never called? Because she gave it to me. I called her. That's Samantha Paris, Voice Tracks West up in Sausalito. Studied with her, studied with Taylor Corbo, just fell in love with it, had a great time. And boom, everything just, you know, started happening.
That's
so
great.
Yeah.
And when did you come down to L.A.?
I came down to L.A. in 98. So I was up there. I was up in Santa Rosa, and actually I worked with the Julie Nation Academy of Dramatic Arts and stuff up there, teaching and working with students up there before I came down here.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
So it's been one heck of a journey, I'll tell you.
This is, coming here is always a journey.
It is a journey.
It's because it's a journey just to get across town.
Yes. Alive.
Well, we try. Yeah. I mean, we get there most of the time. So how did you drift into character voices and animation and teaching that?
Well, you know, I think the thing was when I very first started with Sue Blue, actually, up in San Francisco, I decided to take the animation class. They called me. I couldn't get into Samantha's class when I first called because they said, "Oh, no, we're full, you know, call later." I forgot about it for about 4 months, and then they called me in January of that year, and they just said, "Hey, we had you on a list here. You want to take some classes?" I said, "Yeah." And they said, "All right, we have an animation class, and it's whatever it was, $285 or something." And I said, "Oh, okay. When is it?" And they said, "Tonight." Somebody bailed. Now again, I could have gone, "Yeah, you know, I'm drive across the Bay Bridge." Oh, no. And I said, "Okay." And they said, "Okay, give us a credit card." Boing. Did that. Went over there. Met Sue Blue. Had a blast. Just had a blast with her. And I said, "If anything, I'm just going to have fun. What it turns out to be, who knows?" And so that's what happened. And the way I actually went further with it is that I was got a job on, gosh, let me remember exactly. But I was actually playing a tennis, somebody on tennis, and I was complaining, "Oh, I've got a tennis elbow." I know it was a health spot. Mm-hmm. So I was supposed to be this whiny girl that was, you know. And at that point, the director said, "MJ, would you go to, you know, blah, blah, blah." And I didn't quite understand where he wanted me to start in the script. And I said, "I'm sorry, did you want me to go to this sentence, this and that?" And he went, "MJ, would you read the announcer?" I didn't think about it. I said, finally a plan of wellness. A wellness that will take you, blah, 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 blah. And he said, "I'd like you for the announcer, too." And then when I found out announcers get double pay, I said, "I'm in. I better take some commercial classes." So that kind of opened up another door. And that's why one of the reasons I do combo classes, because I think it's good to maybe start by focusing on something. But then don't forget about your regular voice. Don't forget about your serious voice, your sad voice, your, you know, we all have our intellectual voice. We have our street voices as well. So look at yourself as There's a lot going on in this mechanism here.
Mm-hmm. See, am I on camera?
No, not at all.
Is this like amateur hour or what? What's going
was
on?
Was I even planet? There? was I down in, you know, the
no,
city?
You were beautiful. I just like
we heard you. He's just adjusting the microphone.
Brain power as I literally cross my own camera. That's what happens when you work a full day and don't get a break before the show. Yeah. Hi, everybody.
Hey. Hi, George.
Hey, George.
Let's get back to show business.
We need a floor producer. The job is still available, folks, by the way.
Anyways.
Yeah. It's a paying job if you happen to be here in L.A. So you've been teaching animation for a while now. Mm-hmm. And what is the process of getting somebody to, well, if not succeed, at least get the opportunity to audition and perform in animation?
You know, I think the first part is, and this is one thing I do in classes, no matter what level. I mean, it can be mm-hmm. beginning, but I do it in the intro class too. And this is when I get people to realize they have an amazing mechanism here. So we start with a very, you know, some breathing exercises and stuff, of course. But like I'll just say, particularly to women who feel like they have that voice that's always going to be here no matter what. And the guys that feel, no, I could never go up very high. And I just start by saying, take a big breath and just let your hand drop way down below your waist, right? Just really low. Yeah. And feel like your voice just went, bleh. Not supposed to be pretty, just, right?
Right.
Take that big breath and go, just do that, like, So then you've warmed up your voice. It's sort of like, say, pick that 100 pounds up, and you go, well, let me start with a 5, you know, first 5 pound, right? So you're just starting this, so you're, this is doing this, stretching your vocal cords, and just like if you were lifting a weight. Then I start with a really low voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, let's do low, way down, and it's not pretty. And I just say, let's do something commanding, like, I shall take your land.
Your head shall be mine.
Excellent. Good. And now we're going to come up just a little higher, kind of in the thorax region. We were sort of in the abdomen there. Mm-hmm. And then you could say, no, I will have my revenge.
No, I shall have my revenge.
Good. And now you just your regular voice up here and you say, what'd you have for lunch?
What'd you have for lunch?
Yeah. I just had your Reese's Pieces here. Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
Okay. And now
you go back in kind of a kermy. So you're up a little higher, but it's
Okay, I can do that one.
Yeah, excellent.
And now I want you to come forward into the nose. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, and you can see that this muscle is pulled down when you do that, right? So mm-hmm. when you pull that muscle down, that helps you start to get nasal, right? The other thing is, yeah, let's hear a little nasal. Like, I cannot find my 13 terabyte. Do you know where it is?
It's over there somewhere. It's right underneath that computer.
It looks too
there.
Big. No, mine's only this big now. So it's amazing for 13 terabytes. Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so you've got that. Now, another thing you can do to practice this muscle coming down on the nose is pull your lips forward, and then you have a nasal, just, but you also have...
Almost like Tweety Bird.
Yeah, almost wet. Yeah. And you really have to articulate, because if you don't move this mouth, I mean, really, really move it,
right?
You ain't going to make no... You just going to blah, 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 blah. So this also helps you use part of your lips and mouth, because you cannot talk when you pull forward unless you really enunciate.
You've got to really say everything that has to be said and really practice
you it. You are enunciating crazy person. You're... All right, good. So now that you're doing that, let's come up just a little higher.
A little higher like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, very
that
nice.
Can be done very easily, actually.
You're very good there, Dad. Okay, and now what you're going to do is let's go, like we're up in the, see like the, what, like our background there. Okay. We're up in the clouds, Dad.
Oh, okay.
But it's higher, but it's really breathy. We're hardly putting any effort in it at all, are we?
It's like we have our own halos.
We
stuff.
Do. We're beautiful.
Like it's flying here.
And so that's what we do. I'll just say to someone, how do you feel up there? And they might say, I feel beautiful. I feel wonderful.
Ah, I feel out of breath.
You feel out of breath too, yeah.
It's hard to flap this hard to be up this high.
Yeah, but you're doing okay. Yeah, even with arms. It's working out. So anyway, so you're up here like that. It's very high. Now what you're going to do is you're going to drop the breath and you're going to get really pissed off about somebody. It's the pain placement. But you've got from this, where it's very breathy, to that.
You're really pushing your your voice now. You're really using a lot more breath, believe it or not, do that.
Some really airy to
really loud about like that. Exactly. Right. That's a Miss Piggy move. You know how she'd say, "Kermit," me in that.
Watch it, frog!
Exactly. Good. So those are some basic placements we work with, and I find even in the intro class that people go, "I didn't know I could. I just did. I never, you know, I never speak up there like that, right?" And then when you put some emotions with it, like "I shall take your land," or "It's so beautiful," then you just automatically want to go to those places. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could also go way longer. "It's so beautiful." I mean, you could do that too. So that's I think a really important exercise. I certainly learned a lot of that as a singer. I mean, you never start singing going clear up to high, you know, from you. So to me, it's the same thing in voiceover. Just take it slow, round, you know, and think of those placements. You can call. You don't have to call them what I call them.
Right.
The abdomen, back of the ear, the nasal, the eyes, the top of the head. And that should just start. I mean, I think if anybody's just sitting around the house and is going, you know.
And they're alone.
They're alone, or they have a really good, you know, fun house they live in with people. And they just start talking in some way. Something's going to happen.
Right.
You know, and so sometimes I tell people, why don't you just see when you're in that voice, how you feel? Because you don't walk around in that voice every day.
No.
Here's a fun exercise. Go to bed, and that night, write down any character you want. It could be somebody from your family. You can say, "Oh, it's from the, you know, whatever show. I'm going to do that voice." But you're going to be that character when you wake up, and you have to be that. The minute you open your eyes, you are that character. You know. So if I say, "Oh, I'm going to be my Italian grandmother," so I'm like, "Oh, that was such a nice sleep. Oh, I feel it so good." You know, so I'm going to start like that because that's who I am.
Right.
What am I going to have for breakfast? I'll have the old pizza I made 2 years ago. It's still good. So if you went to bed as this character, whoever it is, somebody in your past, you're mm-hmm. anybody, really. It doesn't have to be anybody. You can make it up.
Right. No. Whenever I go back to a character from my family, it's somebody from years ago. My Uncle Al.
What's his name?
Uncle Arl.
Arl.
Uncle Arl. Mm-hmm. And he always sounded like he was half asleep. Strong guy, though. I once saw him carry a refrigerator out of the basement on his back. He was about this tall.
Uh-huh.
It was amazing that he could do that.
We had a guy that ran for president that was like that. That was, you know, he's kind of asleep.
Yeah. No, but now he'd talk like this. If he would get up in the morning, I need my pill. That sort of thing. I actually used it in a play when I was a tailor, an old Jewish tailor. I'm like, "All right, I'll sew this thing for you," that sort of thing. You know, I could. So it's
nice.
It's,
and do you see how your posture and everything, your hand movements change, your eyes change a little bit. So that you are starting to embody the character.
Right.
And that's the other thing you have to do. When people stay in the same position and say, "I got to do this, Carrie. I've got to do this." But nothing else changes, but they're trying to get that voice to change. It's going to help you.
Physicality is everything. I remember learning, if you want to play an old person, which I tended to do when I was young, they'd say, "Let the energy flow out of your belly button."
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, suddenly I would feel like I do now at my age. So that's one of the things that you can do is play with the energy and really work those types of characters. And, that's how I control my energy. And clearly I've been doing the right thing.
You're doing the right thing. Exactly.
Yeah.
One of the exercises I talk about, like, particularly for really young people and people with higher voices, and they say, "Oh, I can't do that. Could you think of an older person who's a little lower and all that?" As I call it my kind of the Halloween door, you know, which is all done in here. Just kind of go, but you can also by going up the scale a little bit, that will all form some stuff. Mm-hmm. So while you're there, all you do is begin to add a crag. You've got, you know, Katharine Hepburn or something, right? Not you wouldn't be Catherine, but no, you could.
I could be Catherine Hepburn if prejudiced. I really wanted to, but I understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. So that's just a cool
William
way
F.
to...
William F. Buckley or somebody like that.
Uh-huh.
Well, Buckley didn't have that. He would just be William F. Buckley.
Uh-huh.
But you can take a voice like that and add that sort of thing to it, and,
uh-huh.
and it'll give that little, like, little vibrato that you're talking about.
Right, because
you're even, picking this up, George.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good even man. If
got
you,
a great engineer here.
Hey, George. Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo. but I mean, see, even if I'm high and do that, I sound older. I don't have to be down here to do it. I can be high and suddenly sound older by adding that bit to it. So we do. Yeah. We. If anybody came in on one of my classes off the street, they think, "What is going on?" And I even teach them sirens, which is interesting. Having that. Broken a few vocal cords on that, but other than that,
yeah. But these are exercises that you know if you really want to get good at animation voices or character voices, you need to practice these every day.
Yeah,
and build up those muscles that'll do that sort of thing.
We do it every class. We start class that way, and we don't like okay, get in the booth,
right.
And what I like to do, too, is have people, luckily, the studio I found that I'm in up from Warner Brothers, is it's an L shape like this. So here's where the students sit, like in this area, mm-hmm. and the booth is here. I have three mics in the booth, pretty good-sized booth. But then this shape that you walk in like this, this part of the L, I have them line up next to each other, right across from each other, and do improv.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to try one?
Sure. Well, I was going to say, let's do some improv.
Let's do some improv.
Improv is, if you're doing characters, you know, if it's on a page, that's cool.
Yeah.
But to be able to improv and really just ad lib these through these things is really where a lot of the magic happens, I guess, in the animation.
I think because you're not so judgmental, or you're not just looking at a script and I'm going to be this. You know,
right.
You just throw them in, and so I'll say, okay, everybody on this side. You're the farmer,
mm-hmm.
and everybody on this side, you're the chicken.
Okay.
The object of this is you want some rights. You want your rights. So you're approaching the farmer about, you've already talked to your chicken gang.
Right.
And you're going to talk to them about your rights.
Okay. So you want to be the farmer?
I'll be the farmer. You can have fun as the chicken.
I can be the chicken. All right.
Yeah. What you doing up here now? You're supposed to be back there laying some eggs there, son. What the heck?
Well, we're here because we want more rights. We're tired of you reaching under us and taking our eggs.
Well, no, actually, we don't do any kind of reaching around there. My son goes and just picks them up, put them in a basket. That's it. Nobody's reaching your butt or touching you or anything. You don't get me on some kind of offensive thing like that now. I mean, we are not touching
you. You don't realize he's got really cold hands. You know what that's like first thing in the morning?
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do now. We're going to warm our hands before we do it. How about that? We put little hand warmers on when we come around.
All right.
And some bag balm. After he's finished milking the cows, puts that on because they're rough and they're cold.
Well, I'll tell you what now. I'm trying to think of what else we could do for you. You think if we could get some little heaters in there, would that help you?
Maybe
a little hot pad in there you guys could sit on.
Yeah, just remember to turn them off in the summer, because last summer it was so hot, it was like,
Yeah, we lost a few of you on that one. That was
lost a few of us that day.
For 3 days, dang.
Yeah, I know. Right. Yeah, but it's important that you respect us as chickens, not just as something that gives you eggs.
Oh, we do. I praise the Lord. When I go to church, I say, "Dear Lord, bless my chickens." I swear, my hand to God. That's how I talk to God about you guys.
You know, when it comes to talking about God, usually people are talking about chicken soup. Don't want to hear about the chicken soup. We only want our rights. Leave our eggs alone. Don't bother us in the morning.
You're talking about matzo ball soup? Now we're going that direction.
That's right.
Say. Fun. Good stuff.
Oh, thank
man.
You.
Yeah. How did it feel being a chicken? A little tender? Do you want to stand up for a while?
Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm good. You know, let me shake out the wings a little bit.
It's very entertaining from over here.
So it's important to be able to do that. And, of course, we've had a lot of people on talking about improv mm-hmm. and stuff. And improv really is about... Did somebody
Who ordered
food?
Pizza? Not me.
Not me.
I didn't order pizza.
But
did
I want
you order
some,
pizza?
Though. Can you send it in?
Oh, my God. He went to the wrong place.
I'll take it.
Place.
What do you got?
We'll take it, though.
Yeah, I just said pizza. That's I'm so hungry. Funny. He must have heard me yelling, pizza.
Sorry. Thanks for coming with the pizza.
Thanks all for the false alarm.
What's the matter for you, huh? Hey, bring that pizza in here. Come on here.
That's right. No, we did not order a pizza.
If I find that on my credit card, I'll tell you what.
I wish we ordered a pizza right now.
Yeah, our neighbors paid for that.
Just send it in, man. That's, I mean, what's the big deal?
That's right.
They can make another one.
See, this is the thing about doing the show at 6 o'clock now. You know, when I was back east and we were doing it at 9, it was late in the evening.
Nothing was going on.
Yeah, but this is like the dinner hour. So we're all like...
Everybody's eating, listening to us. And,
that's right.
There's people in Australia eating.
That's right.
That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
So, yeah, improv is important, and we keep learning this, that nothing is in stone, and when you're going in for auditions, to ad-lib a little bit and not say exactly what's there. And I have found, like, if you do a take on something, I have a friend who says, do a heart attack take. Like, we've gone through it, and he says, just do it the way you do it, you know, as opposed to how I direct you.
Uh-huh.
And usually that's when the best stuff comes out.
Uh-huh.
It's
I agree.
Kind of interesting. So you just got to learn to let go a little bit.
Well, you know, and you can always go into an audition. I think that they actually appreciate this when you go in and say, I have two ways.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had anybody say, you know what, forget it. Will you just read what we said, you know?
Right.
So I'll say, they say, okay, show it to me. I don't even have to describe them. Like, the first way is crazy, second way is like that. And they'll go, oh, you know what? We haven't heard that read today. Let's start with that one. Now, they may let you go back to the read that's sort of, you know, what they asked for.
Right.
But a lot of times I'll say, no, we haven't had that. That's great. Let's keep that. I haven't found anybody that doesn't want to hear some creativity.
Mm-hmm.
So that I think is really important that people just jump in and say, I saw this character or I got to this audition and I was reading the copy and said, I want to take it this way a little bit,
right.
See what happens.
That's always fun to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have the guts to do it, though. I mean, everybody's in their comfort zone, and you've got to, like, just let it go. Just whatever comes out of your head. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that relaxes you and eases the tension. And, you know,
I think the confidence comes from just playing. Just playing, you know, just hanging out with yourself, having a good time, trying stuff. Like I said, every night you could go to bed and say, I'm waking up as my grandma. I'm waking up as the guy next door that drives me crazy.
Right.
And somebody you saw on TV, for that matter, other characters that you want to come close to.
Right.
In my classes, I also have them go, like, I love Mabel Pines.
Mabel Pines.
Christian Schaal won for, she won for Bob's Burgers instead of Gravity Falls, Disney's thing. But I got to meet her because I'm the stage manager for the Annie Awards. And I told her, I said, you know what? I have my class do Mabel Pines in the scene where she's dancing and she's jumping up and down and singing and falls on the floor and drops the mic. And she said, oh, my God, that's so cool. And I said, yeah, it's, you know, I just love what you do with that. But she took Mabel from, you know, which could have been kind of a nice girl character to crazy. Just, whew. I mean.
Yeah. And that sort of takes us to really where these voices are really in demand. I mean, there's animation here in Hollywood, but really video games are taking over. And I'm sure you have a lot of people coming to you, students, saying, I really want to get involved in the video game.
Mm-hmm.
And these skills are really prime there, especially getting the exercises in. Do you find that?
Yes. And one of the things I when people are introducing themselves in the class, I say, anybody do a foreign language? Anybody really good at accents? Because that's so important. Because some of them, they'll say, oh, God, they'll say, 8,000 years old, kind of a Transylvania, blah, blah, thing. And you go, what in the world? You know, but you have to play with that in your voice. And there's definitely a lot of Brit, a lot of the British.
Right.
But I cast Raven's Cry, which was over 80 characters. Woo! But what was interesting is only about 20 people did them.
Yep.
And because it's a ship that's sailing, you know, through the world, it's like, well, we're going to stop at New Guinea. Who's got that? We're going to stop here. We're going to be in, you know, we're going to stop on that island. We're going to go. So they would call me and say, oh, we just realized we need, you know, blah, blah. We need Spanish. We need this. And I remember just calling some of my students that I knew could do things. Like, I had a friend that was definitely East Indian. And I said, oh, my God, can you do the East Indian thing? I mean,
You've got to do it.
And he said, oh, I don't have time. I said, have you got your phone? He said, yeah. And I said, right now, start talking. I don't care what you say. Just say something about the high seas and send it to me right from your iPhone. And he got the gig. So things were going that fast. And so I think studying some, you know, I don't know if you have to study an accent, if they have to be dead on. But if you start even going on YouTube and saying, I'm going to type in Nigeria, see what comes up as a voice and play with it. I'm going to type it, you know, whatever. Or listen, when you start listening to a lot of the news stations, there's people from all countries. Right. And you can say, oh, listen to that accent, you know.
Heck, just walking down Burbank Boulevard will do that for you.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of different accents along there.
True.
You know, or on the train, if you're, like, heading downtown, you hear all sorts of stuff.
We got tons of people here now.
That's true.
All over.
They're from everywhere. They're from everywhere.
They're from everywhere. They're all killing me. Now, enough about the emails.
Yes.
Whatever.
Now, I understand that you've done some poetry.
Yeah.
And you were going to read us some selections from some stuff you've written. It's been a while since you've written it, I take this.
Oh, a long time. And what I'll say is I was really fortunate enough to get it in a book that Harcourt Brace, did called Ride the Silver Season. It was for kids, helping them. Yeah.
For those of you wondering, this is called a book.
It's called book. I don't think you can read it online yet. But what was great, they said they wanted to use a poem of mine, and they'd read some stuff. I said, great. Then I get in here, and I start looking, and I think, Woody Allen? Oh, my God. I mean, I'm in here with Woody Allen, and I'm, you know, just a ton of people. But they took a very simple poem that I did for that. But it was amazing to me is I hadn't been doing poetry forever and ever, because that's how I started. Like, remember when you were 20?
Hey! I sort of remember it.
Yeah,
it's falling into that category of
hitchhike across the USA. I'd hitchhike every year to go back to Cape Cod. Hey, who wants to go? Let's go. Put on a knapsack. This one, but what was interesting, when a friend about, I don't know, 3-4 months ago said, Kay, will you come to our art back, you know, thing that we're doing in the backyard? And it's a beautiful, you know, presentation. People are bringing art. And I said, sure. And I started to look at my stuff and I said, oh my God, I wrote a lot about cartoons then.
Really?
Yeah, as a kid. I mean, well, I wrote it was 20, you know, in my 20s, but looking back. So this is called Coyote. Okay? So you know who I'm talking about. You know I'm talking about the Wile E. Coyote. Okay. When I was young, I was obsessed with winning. It's what you were taught, to be first, to be an A+. But when I was 27, someone gave me a sticker picture of Wile E. Coyote, and I peeled off the paper and stuck him to my backpack. So 27, going east across I-80, with all the hurry, honking, tolls passing, I studied the truth about the roadrunner. Nothing ever really happens to the roadrunner. He just keeps in the running. Only the coyote knows about smashing his head into trains and trees and having his body flattened by high-falling boulders. In one cartoon, after he had mistaken a bus for the roadrunner, Wile E stood up, paper-thinned, and turned sideways to accentuate his absurdity, which made us all laugh harder. Wile E will never catch the roadrunner, but the roadrunner will say the rest of his running days, his one sound of winning communication. Beep, beep. Meep, meep. That's how I look at fame. Beep, beep. Yeah, let's do that one. And I was going to read, let's see if I have the other
That's
one.
That's a great one. That's the... That evokes lots of interesting visuals.
It does, yeah. Wiley is, was I going to do the Jerry, let me see, where's my Jerry Lewis one? Hey, lady, I love Jerry Lewis. Well, I thought I marked it. I didn't mark it. I have to go to that thing called the table of contents.
Hey, we could take a break and let her find it.
We could do that.
Well, let's take a break while I find my own poetry book.
How about that?
Okay, well, yeah, this gives me a chance to talk about one of our great sponsors.
Yes, it does.
Right.
It does, yes. David H. Lawrence the 17th, yeah, he's invented something. You know, everybody has an app. I mean, everybody's got a smartphone. Mine's kind of stupid, but you know, everybody's got one of these. And a number of people have come up with really cool apps for voiceover. This is one of the best ones and an award-winning one at that. It's called Rehearsal App for Actors. Learn your lines, get off book, and book more work. It's the industry standard and has been for almost 5 years. It's used by professional actors on every show on TV, on Broadway, in studio films, by A-list actors, and probably the B-list actors, and maybe a few Cs, and students, and everyone in between. being someone who has a terrible time learning their lines when doing live theater, this is something I wish I had before. So perhaps now if I do live theater again, I'm going to use one of these things. Now, Rehearsal App is the only app that lets voiceover talent audition from their iPhones, iPads, iPod touches, and send a native MP3 right from their device. That's really cool. And coming soon, a brand new Rehearsal App. It's time to go pro. Now, visit rehearsalapp.pro and back their Indiegogo campaign, and you can be one of the first to get the new Rehearsal at a special early bird backer price of 50% off. Hopefully the Indiegogo campaign is still going on, like some other products we know about. But we know this is a great product. That's rehearsal.pro. Rehearsal.pro. Make sure you go out and you try that for your next audition. And we'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. So don't go away.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittem.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios, who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success in one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology.
Business.
And good old-fashioned acting.
Hey, Paul, I really like your suit. Where did you get it? It looks good on you.
This is VOBS.
Everybody, well, before we finish up the show, one more sponsor to tell you about, and that is Harlan Hogan of VoiceOver Essentials. Yay, Harlan. We love you. Harlan has been bringing VoiceOver products to the VoiceOver community for quite a while. I mean, at least 5 years, we know that, because Harlan has been sponsoring Dan and I together in all of our show incarnations for over 5 years. It's just amazing what he's done for us in the community. But he really is an innovator because he brings out products and focuses a product assortment that the voice actor would actually need. And it ranges from microphones to headphones to just little things like a shock mount, a proper shock mount that will hold a Sennheiser 416 or something like that. He's got porta booths, you know, devices you can take with you on the road, or if you just have to do a quick session at home, pop it up on your dining room table. You can get a quick session off in your home. He's got a really amazing wide range of products over there at voiceoveressentials.com. If you want to tell him that we sent you, you can do that by just going to the bottom of our website, click on the picture of Harlan standing there right in front of his porta booth. And when you click on that, he'll get a little note saying, hey, you just came from VoiceOver Body Shop, VOBS.TV. And that way he'll know that, you guys came from us. It's just a great place to shop, and you're going to get great customer service and a return policy that's pretty much unmatched out there for recording products. So anyway, thank you, Harlan. Without further ado, let's get back to our friends in the studio over here. Right over there, we got Dan and MJ, and MJ, you're going to read us a story.
And we would, yeah, everybody sit down now. Okay.
This is called the Jerry Lewis syndrome, and I was always in trouble in school. I hope that some of you were too, because that's
no,
it's like
never.
You just had to say your opinion. You know, I got kicked out of Catholic school. Too many questions. Do
too
not
many
ask
questions.
Another question about Jesus, please. Okay. So this is called the Jerry Lewis syndrome. I must have seen every flick he was in, starting with Martin. I was supposed to like Martin best since I'm Italian, but I chose to mimic the Jew. During recess, kids would beg me, come on, walk like Jerry Lewis. The way to do it is you arch your back, so you stick out your butt, let your stomach sag, get your feet pigeon-toed, and you do all these things while walking and singing high-pitched nonsensical words. No wonder teachers thought I was slow. Of course, I thought school was slow. You had this book in black and white about apples or quarters or how do they make a dozen, and you had this other book about guys that wanted to go exploring, but the kings wouldn't give them the money because they thought the world was flat. By junior high, I was still seeing Jerry. I sat through Bellboy 10 times. I started carrying around my lunch tray over my head like Jerry carried the trays at the hotel, but I spilled a lot and left the lunchroom really hungry. I bragged about knowing every line of Bellboy, because Jerry didn't say one word through the whole thing. Then some teachers got together with my parents, and they sent me to a guidance counselor. The guidance man was fat, never washed his hair. He wore two big rings like some king. He kept telling me I did this Jerry Lewis thing for attention, and he mumbled words I never understood, so I sat silent, like Bellboy. Once when I was doing Jerry faces at him, he came to his feet and full-toothed smile said, why do you do this Jerry Lewis crap? I ran to the door screaming, because he makes the world round.
Oh, very cool.
I like that ending.
Ta-da.
All right. Now, you also had a bit of a music career, apparently. Yeah, for those of you wondering, this is a record album.
This was 1986, big hit on the high energy charts. This was when disco was so cool. And so they made me go out as Joy St. James because there was a guy named Lilo and there was another person named Jolo. And they said, no, you can't go out as Lilo.
Now we have J-Lo.
J-Lo, Lilo, everything. Right, yeah. So we called it Dance, as I probably wrote the song and did it. And it's still out there. That's what's interesting. You can and wow. You know what people are doing? What's this thing where you hold your buttons,
twerk.
Yeah.
Is this a good record for twerking?
Said, yeah. So someone said, oh, my God, is that you? I said, no, that's not me. I mean, it was like, you know, it's amazing.
All right, we are going to use that record for twerking at WovoCon.
Yes.
Right. And then it was also it wasn't in the film. I had thing in No Surrender, No Retreat, the Jean-Claude Van Damme thing. I did a number in that. So, yeah, I did a lot for film and video and all that. Worked for the...
Wait a minute. Is that thing available for download somewhere?
You know what? I want to do that. I keep calling. There's only a couple people left in the record company. And so I think I'm going to just go ahead and put it out.
Is it still tied up in copyright, or can we get it? Is it public domain?
Yeah, I'm going to see what I can do about that, because I've called them, and they're sort of, it's been quite a few years.
If
so.
They're not listening to you, then yes, they're not going to, yeah, you know, if the tree
right.
falls in the
We're going to put
forest.
It out. I'm going to put it
yeah,
out.
Yeah, get that out
Why
there.
Not?
Now, did we actually have some audio here, George?
Well, yeah, we had some stuff from your singing from YouTube.
I
did a whole album. It's called Voices from the Night Sky.
Oh my God, I actually remember that. No, I used to work at a New Age station, and we would get all of these weird albums. And
MJ,
that was one of them.
MJ, hold it up at this camera over here. Right. This one right here.
He just gave it away.
Wow.
All right.
Well, look, it's transparent too.
See my eye in there.
See, hello.
Can you see my eye in the middle of the?
Yes.
Whoa, that's cool.
Doo-doo-doo-doo.
Oh, cool.
See the eye there, and then there's the.
Oh wow.
That's my eye. But I had worked for besides Levi's and Dunkin' Donuts and stuff like that. I had done work for NASA, and for the Vatican Observatory. So I was doing some spatial stuff because I had to.
Really?
Yeah.
So we
this
have
is for a shot of the Sistine Chapel in the Vatican Observatory. It's on YouTube, and it's just a quick,
minute
20
long.
Seconds of the whole thing, which is about three
minutes. Let's give this a listen.
Uh-huh.
Wow, very cool.
So that's on this album, and it is on iTunes, Voices from the Night Sky, MJ Lalo. There's some other guy named Lalo. I don't know. I got to bump him off because he's got one song
up there. But he can't do
there.
Voices like
no,
that.
No, he's not. Right. But for some reason, sometimes when you type that in, this one guy comes up with something very strange sounding, and I'm like, I have no idea why.
Yeah. It's fun to play with with multi-tracks and doing stuff like that.
Yeah, it's
actually
fun.
Tried doing barbershop harmony. Of course, I couldn't. Do barbershop.
That's great.
But I tried anyway.
Mm-hmm. Hey, can I answer we'll take turns on the questions or something?
Why don't you start? Keith O'Brien has the first question.
I'll kick it off.
Go for it, Keith.
My question pertains to casting for animation and video game projects. I'm a New York City-based actor, and I love all things animated and character drive. Unfortunately, it is quite difficult to find auditions for animation and video games being based in New York. Most agents here aren't that interested. How would you suggest an actor in New York, besides moving to L.A., procure auditions for animated and video game projects? Is it possible?
Wow, that's an excellent question. I noticed that, too. Now, there's some independence because, on some of the pay-to-play things, I have seen some video auditions or people have, at least told me about them. So they are coming up more and more. But for the really professional ones, they do want to record here because they want you right there. And sometimes you're not going to get away with an hour or two in the studio because you're going to have to do all those sound effects and screaming and yelling. And it might feel like they have a whole studio set up for you that can take that kind of, screaming, yelling, where somebody, if they just have a commercial studio, it's probably not going to. Well, you can talk about that a little bit, too. You have to have a completely different sound for commercial than you do screaming, crazy games, right?
Well, I mean, it's one of the hardest things people have to do in a home studio is audition for animation and games. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's tough to get the levels just right. And I've used tricks where I say, flick the pad switch on your mic if you have one. Mm-hmm. Turn it on so that you're not having to remember what settings to use on your preamp back and forth. And I'm doing animation now. Now I'm doing a natural read. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to record that stuff properly.
Yeah, so a lot of it is just that they're based here and they have a studio. Some of them are linked right into a studio. And so it's to say, I know they'll say, you pay for the ISDN and we'll use you. That could happen, but, and then there are some... I've seen some for a voice, Eric Shepard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, Voice Productions. And Tag Talent, I think Savage Talent, I've seen it, them put some stuff out. So I think it's going to start happening more as they see that you will be willing to, as a voice artist, be able to go to a studio and rent it or get that kind of equipment for yourself in your home.
Yeah. Just keep watching this show. We'll show you how to do it. It's not hard. All righty. Jay Sawyer asked an actual technical question. Does MJ still use ADK mics, and what others does she use?
Yeah, ADK. I love my ADK C414. Love it. It's a real. I think it's a really good mic for female voices. Somebody told me to get the Sennheiser, and I felt like it. I didn't feel like it was good for my voice. So I've tried some, but. Yeah, I like the ADKs, and I have a couple of Neumanns, too. So.
Can't go wrong with
Not
those.
To be a technical geek, but that's my job. Are you talking about AKG?
No, ADK.
Okay, because you said C414.
AKG. Oh, wait a minute, he's saying...
He's saying an ADK.
Oh, I do have one of those.
You have an ADK, too?
My friend Larry. Yeah. I have
Larry Villela is the rep ADK. For them.
I don't know if he's still doing it.
He was at NAMM, actually.
I believe he is.
Oh, guy, I'd like to see him because the very first time I went when I got my studio back in 2000, I walked up to that mic and I said, wow, I love this mic. And then, of course, we got that, let's make a deal. We're both Italian. Come on, what's going on? So I bought, that was my first mic.
The 250 was
the second one was the
A51 or something
AKG.
Like that.
Yeah.
I've had a few ADKs too. They're an interesting mic. Mm-hmm. Ed Vio asks, does MJ prefer dry character demos with no music or effects? That's a good question because not people are doing character demos, and how should those be produced?
They say they liked. I had a guest director in that said, I want the whole thing produced because we want to hear it. Like it really, it sounds like it's a big production. myself, being more interested in the voice and casting, I'm fine with a dry one because I want to hear your voice. And sometimes I find that these people overproduce and then you can hardly hear the voice over, you know, and you're like, oh, my God, what are they saying? What's going on? So if you decide that you are going to have a fully produced one, ask them to make your voice the most important thing. Because I've returned some demos and just said, please have your guy turn it down just a little bit so we really hear the performance. If the bomb goes off, that's great. Let it go off, but we don't want it to go off over your words.
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah.
This one comes in from Elaine Singer, and she says, that would be you, MJ, does MJ start with the voice first or develop the character first? How do you separate the two?
Yeah, let me see. Well, sometimes, like, I know I played a little bit with the character Albert that I do in Clay Kids. I just loved him. I mean, he's got his inhaler, and he's got these giant glasses, and he's this big, and everybody else is this big. And I remember saying, playing with, you know, what I saw in life, I had that kind of a problem, you know. And I decided he couldn't have it all the time. It would be terrible then to listen to it, but to bring it in sometimes. But then to start to mold how whatever you're starting with around the description of the character. Because even though he was a little guy and he had big glasses and everything, he was really smart. He wasn't like a pathetic little, I'm kind of a nerd. He wasn't like that. He was, he spoke in big words. And so as you keep working with the character, keep reading more of the description about him. And then depending on who you're auditioning for, a lot of people, you know, they thank God will give you the other character in the scene. But you have to know what is your relationship to that character. And I find that some auditions that come in, you go, well, he's acting like he's challenging this guy. When he doesn't, he's scared to death of him. So if you don't read through who all the characters are and what your relationship is to him, I find that's a big problem because you may be saying something to a character and you go, I'm just going to say my lines. I know what I'm saying. But you don't know,
you know, I was just thinking today that,
you know, you're a little pulled back and said, hey, I was just thinking today. You would never approach that character like that because he's going to turn around and hit you or something. So it's always good to look through the entire grouping of characters and who they are, what they mean to each other. So you know if you're defensive, if you like him, if you're shy, you know, whatever it might be, because you don't want to give a one-dimensional character read.
Mm-hmm. All right. Dana Hurley asks, this is a good question because this is one I always think about too.
Mm-hmm.
How do you catalog different characters to recall them easy?
Aha. Very simple. First, I start with where they come from, you know, in other words, is it low abdominal?
Is it nasal?
You know, where do you feel it's coming from in you? So you start with that. And then as you're kind of using the character's voice, definitely one of the first things after that is what's its name? If you name it, and it doesn't matter. I mean, you can name it after your dog. You can name it Juicy Fruit. It doesn't matter. It's got to be a name that applies to that character. So and then you use then you have what I call their signature saying. So if their signature, you know, saying is something like, I shall have my revenge. Then you're going to call this, I'm going to call this person Queen So-and-so. Okay, so, and you know what? It doesn't matter if you call her Queen So-and-so. That's okay. Your brain remembers it.
Right.
But I should give her a name. Well, So-and-so is fine. Queen So-and-so, I shall have my revenge. You shall die at dawn. I mean, then that's it. And that will get you right there because it's just like if I look at people in this room and go, I forgot. And what's your, and who, right? You name people. So name it. You know, kind of get a feeling for the character, name it that's appropriate to the character. I mean, if he is like a
Sniffles guy,
then he's Sniffles guy. You know, if it's a Queen So-and-so, you get to have whatever name you relate to and then give me that sentence that character starts off with. Because every time you go back to that opening sentence, you'll have it.
Right. And then, of course, once you've established a character like that,
mm-hmm.
and then you can do the variations from there because that's your baseline character.
Right. Yeah. Right, because if you go, well, I'm Italian here.
I'm Italian up here.
You know, so you can carry it right through all those placements, too.
Yeah. Great question, David.
That's a good, that leads into Ken from Dvox. Can MJ talk more about doing different ages, especially men trying to do younger?
Well, I think, you know, it's men are going to have a hard time doing probably somebody. It depends on the voice, to below, you know, say 14. But the exercise that I talked about first, that, you know, doing that. If you try that a little bit more and definitely get that warmed up, whatever pitch that is you're going to do, like you're going to go, I'm still comfortable there. That's good. Maybe sing in it a little bit. And then try the character. So you can still go a little bit younger. But for women, I mean, it's the same thing, you know, when they'll say, well, you can't go older. You know, women can't usually do boys older. Same thing for you. You're going to go, and see if you can stay at that level and feel comfortable about it. A lot of it depends, too, on the character. We did a feature called The Grid Zombie Outlet Mall with Linda Anderson. She was the writer. She actually made the characters and everything. And the cast was primarily women, and a lot of them did male voices. And what was interesting, if they just changed attitude sometimes, you believed it. You know, there was one that was very good as Irish, and it wasn't much lower than mine, but the way that she addressed people, you kind of went, yeah, it sounds like an Irish guy. You know, maybe
a tenor.
Yeah, tenor Irish guy. So, you know, try, just get, if you get that in your positioning, you know, that you can go lower or go higher, then you've got to put in the attitude and everything of how that character is going to be. Because obviously a kid 14 is not going to sound like you, you know, a boy 18. And same thing for women.
Right.
You know?
It makes me think in musical terms, like, you know, in the advent of synthesis and synthesizers, you know, you can make an instrument sound realistic, but unless you play it on the synthesizer in the way that it would have been played by the actual instrument or the musician, it doesn't sound convincing.
Exactly.
You can't play chords of a trumpet, of a solo trumpet. Like, it, uh-huh. So it has to be, yeah, in the right registers, and it's like that with characters. Right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Your voice is an instrument.
It is.
Absolutely. Hanson Benson, and no, I won't make fun of your name. Says, MJ, my name is Ashley, a shout out from the Bay Area. I've been VOing. I don't think I've ever heard referred to as VOing.
Well, that's a San Francisco to me. I'm VOing, baby.
Okay. I knew there was a tune in there somewhere. She's been VOing for about a year and a half. And now, and I've sort of been pigeonholed myself into video games and have not gotten any different work. What can I do to fix that?
Well, I look up where the market is in the Bay Area. I'm just even trying to think of game companies up there. Jeez. That's funny because they sort of started up there a little bit back in the mid-90s. But I would take a look at trying to find some characters that you feel that you relate to. You know, I think it's important to just say, oh, there's this character, this character, this character, and I'm... If I want work, what is the character that seems to be most pronounced now? And how could I fit my voice into it?
I just found a huge list of them on Google.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
She did?
Of companies up there. Big Fish, Blue Shift, Campo Santo, Cryptic Sea. I mean, on GameJobHunter.com.
There you go.
GameJobHunter.com. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I've heard of Big Fish.
Yeah.
I thought that's an agency, though, too, isn't it? Big Fish
could
is an
be.
Agency,
yeah,
I thought.
Yeah, I'm just reading a list here, so some of these could be agencies.
Yeah. So look it up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Game Job Hunter. Game Job Hunter. That's a hard one to see.
Game Job Hunter. Interesting.
You know, so much started in the Bay Area because they had the Learning Company. The Learning Company was across the bay, and Ned Lott was the first job I got in the Learning Company. He still comes to my studio and... You know, he worked for Disney for a long time and works with people there, does privates and does casting there. And we always talk about how the first job I got was a Whoopi Goldberg thing with him. But anyway, that was this, like, if you came into voiceover right around the mid-90s, you had work like that. because of CD-ROMs teaching kids, you know,
I'll have one piece of cheese, please. No, I'll have two pieces.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff we were doing.
And CD-ROMs, remember those?
Yeah.
CD-ROMs,
and
stacks
they made
of
voiceover
them.
Happen. I mean, you got to hand it to
that's
them.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, now is your chance to totally plug stuff. Like, and we're talking like your teaching, your coaching. How can people get in touch with you, and what do you got coming up?
Okay, you can get in touch with me. There's this bar down on at Creating, that's C-R-E-A-T-I-N-G-V-O-I-C-E-S. Because people go, Creator? No, just Creating.
It's right here. Right underneath my finger here.
Oh, Creating Voices.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, that finger went right in my mouth.
That's sorry.
Excuse me. No, just kidding.
No.
And so that's the best place you can go in classes, and you can roll right down and see them and see what's going to be happening in them right now. It's going to be a couple fun nights. We're going to have Taylor Chapman from Disney Toons, Mike O'Dell from the Bobby Ball Agency. The intermediate one, we'll have Brian Neske from Disney Imagineering. And, the classes as you go up in them, I feel like I'm going to teach the beginning one 5 weeks, but then you have to get in front of directors. You can't just keep having the same. I know some people say, I'm going to study with this person forever. And it's like, you might want to, see what some other people have, because everybody directs and works in a different way. And you'll learn some really good stuff from people that are different from, maybe somebody you've had for a long time. I already told you about my album and the poetry books I'm going to get up on Amazon. The on Netflix is Mummy, M-U-M-M-Y, I'm a Zombie. That's cast and directed that. That's part of the Clay Kid series. And it's 52 episodes, so that's on there. And Clay Kids is 52 episodes. That you can see some of that on YouTube. I think they're going to release it in the States. But Mummy, I'm a Zombie is that's the one on Netflix. And the newest one is The Grid. It's funny, what am I zombied out here? The Grid Zombie Outlet Mall with Linda Anderson as the writer. We both co-directed it and recorded it at my studio, and that is on Amazon Prime. So cool. If you're on Amazon Prime, you get it free for the next 30 days. And if you don't, that's okay. You can go buy it and rent it or whatever.
Zombie.
Can I ask you, like, inside the baseball kind of question about the Amazon Prime? You said that it's being given away on Prime.
If you belong to Amazon Prime already, yeah then you get it for they're offering it for free for 30 days. But you're already on Amazon Prime.
You get nothing during that period? Is it purely promotional so you don't get a dime during that period?
Oh, I'd have to ask
away?
Linda.
Ooh, no, that's just a good curious. Question.
I better ask Jay Leno. What's going on with economics?
No, I've always wondered.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We did it under a new SAG New Media contract. And so some of us are getting points, because they're using my studio and all that. And but we had a great cast. Henry Ford, he is in Code Black. If you read about some of the other people that were in it, pretty good, group of people on that. And everybody had a great time doing it. It was fun.
Yeah.
Very cool.
You mentioned the U word. Union.
Union,
How are things going in the new media world in terms of contracts, how they're being negotiated?
Boy, a lot of people are using it because you can get, now there's people come in and say, you know what? Give me the paperwork. Just give it to me. I'll handle it. Because that's something like I should have done more research on it, but I got a huge thing that was coming to me, and I said, no, I don't do that part. You have to get somebody to the union and the payroll and all that. Yeah. And they went with somebody that did that already. So if you can bond with, some people that do that, they'll take care of all that for you, and then the union will pay a decent rate, and you'll get your health and retirement and all that. So it may not be right up there at union scale, but it'll be closer and it'll be handled really well, and you will get paid.
Good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, MJ, it has been a pleasure.
Nice talking to you.
Thank you for coming down to our clubhouse and being on the show.
Your chicken was amazing. I think that I'm thinking of a series there for you.
Cool.
All right.
Well, we can't take a break. We've run out of breaks unless you want to run our
thank you guys.
Yeah. Let's just run it out. We got upcoming shows. We got announcements. So speaking of announcements.
Just sit back and relax. It's time for some announcements. Don't you?
Here he comes. It's a smooth transition. You have no idea what just happened.
Wait, I'm still up there.
Totally chaotic. The wrong camera's pointing the wrong direction. Dan's running
around. I'm glad I didn't get out of my nice clothes yet.
I can fix that.
Pan towards me a little bit more. There you go. You got it.
Dead live
on the, dead
TV
on the
folks.
Money, folks.
You're right in the there was, in the smog.
That was awesome, man.
Wait a second. I gotta pick up this one thing here.
Pick that thing up. That thing is important.
Don't want to step on the.
Yeah, that costs like a whole like 7 cents.
No, yeah, but the
mic. Oh, but the microphone
the
on
mic
there.
The mic is a lot more than.
Hook that thing on.
I think it's going to kill somebody one of these days.
Oh, my God. That's the funniest thing ever.
Okay. It's a microphone. Anyway, coming up on this fantastic show, and anyone tuned out, they missed all that.
I know.
Okay, next week, April 11th, we have a great director. If you're interested in doing anime and that type of stuff, Crispin Freeman's going to be here, and I've seen him direct. Amazing. Just that's going to be really interesting. Maybe I'll get him to do some, have him coach me through some anime stuff.
Yes, you are the guinea pig of coaching.
Yes, April 17th, you and I will be in Las Vegas, baby. We'll be at WovoCon, and we'll do a show from there
on our old time on a
Sunday night.
On a Sunday,
and we'll be around the pool and lots of gals and bikinis and stuff. It'll be like, woo-hoo. We can do it like Martin and Lewis. That's really right. Cool.
I don't know what time it's going to be, so just stay tuned.
Yeah, we will give you a fair warning.
Yeah.
Of course, a lot of you will be there, so you get to watch the show live. April 24th, Kelly Buttrick.
Yes, that's
great.
Fantastic.
Friend of ours. She'll be on talking about this unique marketing thing she was doing and how she was like really going after the people at Jeep.
Parlayed that into some work.
Yeah, she really did. And then on May 2nd, Kiff Vandenhoevel.
Yeah.
Actor, voiceover talent, podcast, all over voiceover.com.
Kiff, I've known for a while because he's been a friend of Rick Wasserman's for years. And I've always thought he was great, but he's got some great insight and he has a great show himself. So he'll tell us about that.
Cool. Well, he'll have one. He'll marvel at what we do here.
He's going to think
you
we're
do
crazy.
What? Yeah. Let's see. We have to thank our donors of the week. This is all falling down in front of us here.
It's working beautiful.
All right.
You're fine.
All right. Thanks to our donors of the week, of course.
Our donors of the week include, at the very top of the list, David Smith, because he donated at the end of the show. It's like if you time your donations right, so you end up right at the top of the list. Eric Aragoni.
Eric.
Of course.
We love you, man.
Thank you, buddy. Don Griffith. Let's see if I just hit the J, see if that works. Martha Kahn.
Martha.
And Antland Productions. He's still donating money. You're a sponsor.
And
stop
he's donating
money. Are you crazy? Shauna Pennington Baird. Thank you, Shauna. Thank you very much. And Michael Martin. I know I'm missing some because of the way that Google groups these together. Diana Birdsall.
Thank you,
David. Thank you, Patty Gibbons, Amanda Fellows. Oh my gosh. There's new names every week.
Gotta love it.
My dad. Thanks, Dad.
Well, thanks.
So nice of you. Dad's still paying for me to live in LA after all these years. Brian Page. Oh, Dad, if you only knew what you're getting yourself into. But anyway, thank you, everyone. Brian Scott Kelly. I almost forgot him.
Yeah. And if you want to donate and help us keep this show going, where we get fabulous people like MJ on here, just look right above us if you're on our page and it says donate now.
We might even get a producer that can help us like line the camera up
and move the microphones around and stuff. 30 shows in on out here on the coast and we're like we're still figuring
it's
it
fun.
Out. It's really different doing the show together.
I know. As long as you guys are having fun with it, we'll keep being our natural goofy selves.
That's right. Okay. What's going on over at Edge?
Well, Edge Studios' latest thing that they're promoting this time around. We're looking at, today's the 4th, right?
All day.
Oh, yeah, so Johnny Heller.
Johnny
Heller's got something going on. He's due to be back on the show, isn't he?
He is.
He was on our old show. Johnny Heller's got his audiobook weekend in Washington, D.C. coming up. It's a workshop and business overview on Saturday, April 23rd. That's my dad's birthday. He's going to turn 70 that day, by the way.
Wow.
Dad turned 70. On the Saturday, 23rd from 10 to 4. And there's a master class on Sunday from 10 to 4. It's $225 per day or $400 for both. And you can register now at edgestudio.com/audiobook-workshops.
There you go.
All right.
Johnny's a great guy.
Yes, he is. A great teacher and a fun guy. We're on Instagram.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know what it does for us.
Yeah, we're doing our behind the scenes.
The kids are doing it, so you got to be on Instagram.
Yeah, we got Alex the intern who couldn't be here tonight, but he's been posting, and he built that Instagram account for us.
Yeah. Also, the show notes, Jack DeGaulia is still sitting out there in the desert writing every word we say.
Hopefully not every word.
Well, I know.
I hope he edits a little bit.
Yeah, but there were a couple of great nuggets that MJ gave us tonight.
Yeah,
and we'll get those out on the Essentials, which I got to get back on and start producing those. And we have a podcast.
Yeah, a lot of you might be listening to the show on a podcast, but if you'd like to consume it in a podcast form, so you don't have to be looking at your phone while you're driving,
that
not a good idea.
No.
You can subscribe on Stitcher, iTunes, pretty much anywhere you can grab a podcast. Just type in VOBS. You'll find us.
Very cool. And we'd like to have you in the studio. It gets some, you know, last week we had a bunch of people when Debbie Derryberry was here.
That
was a lot of fun. The more people that are in here, the more lively the show can become.
The more fun.
That's right. And you can participate. And we want to have you here.
And bring us cookies.
Yes. Boy, I'll do. Susan Maisel brought us a thing of cookies. It lasted quite a while.
Oh, okay. Jake, that was right in the middle of my diet. Thank you very much.
So, but bring food. That's important. But if you want to come see the show live, write to us at theguys@vobs.tv, and we'll be happy to let you come in here. We'll actually give you the address, and then we have to kill you.
Right.
We don't want people coming in here all the
time.
Can
you do disposable addresses like disposable credit card numbers?
I hadn't thought of that.
How would we pull that off?
The number would have to dissolve on the front of the house.
Or it'd have to rotate every day. Never mind.
All right. The guys at VOBS.tv. Come on, we want to see you here. If you happen to be in the Los Angeles area.
You're in the valley. Jeez.
Yeah, I mean, you walk here, for crying out loud. You can ride your bike.
Nobody walks in the
valley. We need to thank our sponsors. Harlan Hogan, VoiceOver Extra, Edge Studios.
Source Elements.
VO2GoGo.com. Antland Productions for providing the uninterrupted stream that you have been watching for the last hour and a half. Going, why am I watching this? Because you can't take your
eyes
off
of it. They're still talking.
Hey, right.
Honey, they're still talking.
Yes. Well, we need to thank a few people, too.
Yeah.
As we do every week. We have to thank Marcy, my wife, because she's covered in paint, but she came out to see the show tonight and lets us do this every week.
And your son.
And Jacob came.
Who helped with the teleprompter.
He touched the teleprompter to get it rolling.
Thanks,
and,
Jacob.
And Conrad came,
and
too.
And 8 carats.
Yes. And, of course, Catherine Curden, our crack producer. Anthony Getting and Shelley Avellino, neither of whom was there tonight.
Oh.
You know, I knew Anthony wasn't going to be here, maybe.
So
but we still covered up for
we
you
still
anyway.
Remember.
That's right. Let's see here. Jack DeGaulia for the show notes. And that's going to do it for us this week.
That's right. And Lee Penny for doing the podcast.
Oh, and for being
Lee
Penny.
He'd be very upset with you for leaving his name off.
I know.
As he should.
I know.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, the kitchen's almost done.
All right. Let's go microwave a pizza.
Oh, it sounds like an excellent idea. I deliver a pizza. You know, the rule is somebody shows up, somebody calls.
Should be the rule.
That is the rule.
Make another pizza.
Anyway. All right. So that's going to do it for us this week. We will see you next Monday night. Crispin Freeman will be our guest, and watch for Essentials and all those sorts of things. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver.
Body Shop.
Or VO.
BS.
There you go. Yeah. See you next week, everybody.
Thank you.
No, it's a...